Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin in Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Zayim Mishal Avoysai, Zayim Mishal Avoysai. We have two people arguing over an item, and as the Mefarshim explain, we're not speaking about any specific type of item. It could be property, it could be a boat, like we discussed. It could be any specific item that these two individuals are arguing. This one's saying that it's mine, I inherited it from my father, and this one says it's mine because I inherited it from my father. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman teaches us that the halacha is called the Olam Gevar. Whoever is stronger prevails. And as the Mefarshim help us put this Gemara into context. Number one, they explain we have to be dealing with a situation where both of them have equal or equivalent claims. If one would be a Bari and one would be a Shema, one is certain and one is not certain, then the one that's Bari, Bari Vishema, Bari Adif. Or if one has stronger proof than the other, then the din of Kalm the Olam Gevar doesn't apply. The din of Kalm the Olam Gevar applies when they're both equal in strength of claim. Furthermore, as we've learned numerous times, if one of them were to be actually holding, possessing the item in question, so we know the halacha is always hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. We also know, as we learned at the beginning, a masechta bava metzia, that if they're both holding the item, then the halacha is yachloiku, the first mishnah masechta bava metzia. If one is holding most of the item, or a certain percentage of the item, and the other one is holding a certain percentage, then we divide it according to the percentages that they are holding. Here we're referring to a situation where neither is holding the item, neither is a typhus in any way. And the Mefarshim debate. How do we understand called the Olam Gevar? It's actually a sort of a foreign concept to the way we look at halacha. The one that's stronger is going to win. So some explain kol da olam gevar to mean that Beis Din, given their inability to deal with the situation, to get to the truth, says we're being misalik, we're removing ourselves from this question, and you kol da olam gevar, you deal with it yourselves. That's one approach. Another approach is that in the Rishonim, is Kalm da Olam Gevar is a psak. It's a decision that Beis Din comes to. And there are two approaches how to understand this. One way of understanding that opinion is that Kalm da Olam Gevar is a way that Beis Din looks at a situation and they say we don't have an ability to come to the truth and therefore made a stronger person win. The Rosh takes an interesting approach. The Rosh says that Kalm da Olam Gevar teaches us that the person who really owns the item, which really truly his, will fight for it, will do more to get the hold of this item, because he knows it's really his. And that's why the truth will come out. Now, it's an interesting shaila, which very much depends on these various opinions that we just cited, how we look at Kol Da Olam Gevar. What would be the halacha, such as the case that we just discussed, where Beis Din says Kol Da Olam Gevar, and afterwards, one person prevailed, so does that mean he prevails, and now it's his? Or maybe if you and I are arguing over an item, today you're stronger, and tomorrow I'm stronger. What would be the halacha? Some Rishonim say, Kol Da Olam Gevar, you could keep on fighting over the item forever. Others say it doesn't make sense. We're going to have this perpetual battle. Perhaps, the Mefarshim explain, this question depends on how we look at Kol Da Olam Gevar. If we look at Kol Da Olam Gevar, the Beis Din says we can't deal with the situation, and therefore we're removing ourselves and we're leaving it for the two of you to fight it out so you can continue fighting it out forever. But if we follow the opinion of the Rosh, that that the Rosh says that Kol Dom Gvar means that we're both going to fight, but the one that really is the owner will fight more. And fighting doesn't mean physical fighting. It could also be with rayas, with different proof. So then, according to the Rosh, once one of us prevails, it remains with that individual forever. It's interesting to note that the Shach takes an interesting approach. He says that Kol Dom Gvar, so let's say there's a debate between you and me, and I win, but now the halacha will be that I have to back up my possession with a shvua. After I make the shvua, then the halacha is, it becomes mine. Till the shvua is made, even if I won today, you could take it from me tomorrow. Once I, however, make the shvua that Chazal required that I make, then the issue has to be left alone. Furthermore, there are mefarshim that suggest that according to the opinion of the Rosh, that says the Kol Dom Gvar means that the two of us fight it out, so to speak, and the stronger one wins, because the one that really owns it will care more. Said to mefarshim, as I said at the beginning of the shiur, the situation that we're speaking about is not necessarily a situation where you're certain it's yours and I'm certain it's mine. What would be a shema of a shema? You're not quite certain and I'm not quite certain, but we both are on the same level. How can we apply to Rush's concept that the real owner will fight for it when maybe I don't know, I'm just a shema as you are? So it's hard to understand how we apply the Rush's Svara, the Rosh's logic, to a situation of Shema v'Shema. Actually, I was thinking there may be a raya to the opinion of the Rosh. I saw the Mefarshim ask a question, the famous episode where the two mothers came to Shlomo Melech with the child, and they were arguing who is the real mother of the child. And Shlomo HaMelech said the famous story, let's divide the child. So Mefarshim asked, didn't Shlomo HaMelech learn our Gemara? And our Gemara says that in such a situation, we would say Kol Dolam Gavar. So why did Shlomo HaMelech say it? So many Mefarshim explain, a king has different rules than a Bezdin. Perhaps what Shlomo HaMelech was doing was exactly what the Rosh says. What did the Rosh say? Kol Dolam Gavar is that the person who really owns it will fight for it more. The Shlomo HaMelech was a reverse logic. He knew that the person that really is the mother will give it up, not let the baby be killed. So again, it's the same concept that the Rosh taught us. Actually, I saw a fascinating pshat. The Torah, at the end of Parashat Zos HaBracha, describing Moshe Rabbeinu, says, "Loisus a Moshe, Ashos a Moshe, l'chol hayad hachazaka." First, asks, "What does it mean l'chol yad hachazaka?" So the Maharal says an unbelievable pshat. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from Har Sinai carrying the luchas Rishon is the first luchas, he was holding on to part of the luchas, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol, were holding on to part of the luchas. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu, Klai Yisrael had done the terrible Aveira with the eagle. And a debate began between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch wanted the Luchas back. Moshe Rabbeinu held on. And so to speak, as much as we could understand, Moshe Rabbeinu prevailed. L'chol hayor hachazaka. Moshe was the stronger one, called the Olam Gvar. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Mashna, why is this different? Why over here we say called the Om Gvar? The Gemara says, Shnei Shtar Sayotz B'yom Echad. If both of us have documents, and this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, we both are holding documents that say that somebody gave us a piece of property or sold us a piece of property on a certain day. And as the Rashbam explains, even, let's say the date of the shtar is Vav Tishrei. even if one of us could prove that the shtar was given to me in the morning and you got it only in the afternoon, says the Rashbam, and this is the pshat that we're going to work with in the Gemara, that aside from Yerushalayim, we don't look at the hour of the day. We look at the date. So both of us have the same date. It says Vav Tishrei. And since it says Vav Tashrei, what should we do? Now, Tosfos says that the subject of this machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is specifically in a situation where it's a shtar mecher. Like I said, a property was sold. You sold the same property twice with the same date. Shtar matana. You gave the same property away twice, the same date. But let's say there would be a shtar halva, with a document that says that I owe you money and I owe somebody else money, and both of them are on the same date, Vav Tishrei. The Tosfos says we would divide up the amount, and I only have a certain amount of money to pay. I can't pay up all of my debts. We pay first come, first serve. But here they're both the same day. The Tosfos says we wouldn't follow what we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. Rather, their halacha would be we pay proportionally. If the two debts are equal amount, then each one will get the same amount based on the amount of money I have. Otherwise, we'll divide it up proportionally. So this is the way Rashbam explains the Gemara. Tosfos and other Rishonim say that this question in the Gemara actually depends on the famous Gemara we learned in Masechta Gittin, Eidah Mesira Karti, Eidah Chsima Karti, and according to the opinion that holds Eidah Mesira Karti, it maybe we don't just look at the date, we look at the date that the shtar was actually transmitted. But again, we're going to learn like the Rashbam. So we have these two documents with the same date. What do we do? Rav Amar, Rav's opinion is Yachloiku. We should divide it. We don't know who's the owner of the property. We divide it. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Shuda the Dina. Shuda the Dina means as follows. Rashbam explains, Shuda the Dina means that we leave it up to Bezdin to determine. We leave it up to Bezdin to determine who really probably is the owner of this property. We let them make this judgment. In fact, I saw them a farshim based on the pshat of the Rashbam, which again is the pshat that we're going to work with, explain a number of gemaras. There's a famous gemara. The gemara says, "Kol dayin hadon din emes lamitoi." Any dayin that judges a din Torah properly, nas a shutuf like Kodesh Baruch Hu Masbereshis. He's considered a Kodesh Baruch Hu's partner. So the farshim asks, "Why does it say din emes lamitoi? It should say kol dayin hadon din emes." Because here we see there's a whole new level of Dayonis, of a Din Torah, Shuda the Dina, where you need what's known as the fifth Shulchan Aruch to try to understand, to reconstruct what happened. That's the Lamitai. Another nice pshat. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, Amr Rabbi Shmuel, Haroitz L'Hachkim, if somebody wants to become a Talmud Chochem, Yasik B'dinei Mominus. He shall learn Masechta Nezikim, Baba Kam, Baba Metziv, Baba Basra. Shehein, because those Gemaras, Dinei Mamonos Gemaras, are Kamayan Hanoveya, like a flowing spring. What's Pshat? So I sort of a Farshim explain. When it comes to the other areas of Halacha, it's cut and dry. The Halacha is Mutaras. Of course, it's our job to know what the Halacha says. But there's no independent judgment. In Dinei Mamonos, our Gemara just introduced the concept of Shuda the Dina. What does Shuda the Dina mean? The Dayan's judgment. Now we're adding to the Torah. It's Kamayan Hanoveya, like a spring that's constantly bringing forth new water. That's how Rashi and the Rashbam explain Shuda the Dina. Tosfos has a different explanation of Shuda the Dina. Tosfos's explanation of Shuda the Dina is that it's up to the judge to make a decision. The judge can make a decision that's within his purview. It has nothing to do with what he thinks is right or wrong. In fact, as a Yerushalmi, it's unbelievable, that doesn't call it Shuda the Dina, calls it Shoichta the Dina. That I don't even know how to say this over. Perhaps the judge could take a pay. It's his right to decide, and he could say, whoever pays me, I'll decide in his favor. So the question here is, why over here, what do we say in our case of Zer Mishal Avoysai, that the halacha is called the Om Gvar, and why over here is the halacha Yachloiku Shudda the Dina? Answer the Gemara. Hasam leka leka melad milsa. In the case of Shnei Shtaris Hayoytsim B'Yoyim Echad, we're never going to be able to get to the truth. And since we're never going to be able to get to the truth, we have no choice other to do Shudda the Dina or Yachloiku. Similarly, I saw the Mefarshim explain, let's say there's a situation, comes up many times, we learn many Gemaras where the Gemara poses a question and the Gemara remains with a teku. Teku means until Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiv Abayis, until Mashiach comes, we'll never know the answer. So the halacha is Yachloiku or Shudda the Dina. Hacha, whereas in our Gemara, yes, right now you and I are having a debate, but ultimately one of us could prevail. And therefore, if the way the Rishonim explain, if Bezdin paskins, and then it turns out Bezdin paskined the wrong way, it'll be a terrible embarrassment to Bezdin. And therefore Bezdin just walks away. Bezdin just walks away from the whole situation. Ask the Gemara another question. Maishna Mahada Tanan, we learned the Mishnah Masechta Bamitzia. Hamachla Par B'chamar. You and I make a deal. We're gonna exchange. You're gonna take my cow, I'm gonna take your donkey for Yolda. And the cow has a baby. Now, the way Nurajbam explains it this way, the way this deal happened was as soon as you take the donkey, I become the owner of the cow, even if the cow is not physically in my possession. And now the cow had a baby. And there's a question. When was that baby born? Was it born when the cow was still by you? Or was it born when the cow was by me? We have a real question. I sell you my pregnant shivcha, and she has a baby. And again, the question is, when was the baby born? Was it born before the sale took place, and therefore I am the owner of the baby? Or is it born after the sale took place and you're the owner of the baby? And again, as the Mefarshim explain, this one says that the baby was born before the sale took place. So the Mefarshim explain that by Parah B'Chamor, the Gemara had to use the word Hamachlef, because since they're metaltlin, a Kinyan Kesef is not an option. So we spoke about a Kinyan Chalipin. On the other hand, by Shivcha is like Karka, Avodim are like Karka, and therefore we could talk about a Kinyan Kesef, Hamoicher, there was a Kinyan Kesef. The halacha is Yachloiku. We divide it. So the question is, why Yachloiku? Why don't we say that ultimately the truth could come out? And our Gemara says, Wherever the truth could come out, we say Kol Dolam Gvar. Why does the Mishnah Paskin Yachloiku? That's the Gemara's question. So one question that the Mefarshim ask is, there the Mishnah says that in such a situation the halacha is Yachloiku. Everybody agrees that the halacha is Yachloiku. Nobody suggests that the halacha should be Shudda the Dina. And I saw the Mefarshim ask, why according to Shmuel don't we say Shudda the Dina? So I saw two answers to that question. According to the Rashbam's explanation of Shudda the Dina, that Shudda the Dina means that the judge has to try to figure out what really happened. So in a case where there's a document that says that I gave you a field and I gave somebody else a field, so then the judge, the dayan, could try to figure out who's a better friend of mine, who is the more likely that I gave the gift to. But in a case of a machlepar b'chamar, where there's no way to make that determination, according to the Rashbam's pshat of Shuda the Dina, according to the Rashbam's pshat of Shuda the Dina, we have no option but to do Yachloiku. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that when you learn the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, you'll see that Shmuel holds that the Machloikis between him and Rav of Yachloiku and Shuda the Dina is actually Machloikis Tanoim. And Shmuel agrees that there are Tanoim that hold Yachloiku. And that's what Shmuel is following, that opinion. But again, the question is, we're saying that where the truth could eventually come out, we say Kol Da'om Gvar. So why don't we say over here, Kol Da'om Gvar? Answers the Gemara. Hasam Lahai Isle Dror Demama, Ulai Isle Dror Demama. In the case of Machla Parba Chamar, again, Rajban's Pshat. The Rajban's Pshat is Dror Demamayna. Dror Demamayna teaches us that both of us have a valid claim. Hamachla Parba Chamar, you own the cow, and I own the donkey. So both of us have a legitimate claim here. The question is, exactly what moment did the sale take place? Somebody sells a shivcha. It's a legitimate sale. Therefore, there we say yachloiku. However, hacha, idamar, loy damar. Idamar, loy damar. If it belongs to you, if it was yours, zay mishal avoysay, zay mishal avoysay, so if there is no drawer of the mamayna, it's yours, it's not mine, it's mine, it's not yours. Therefore, the situations are not similar. That's how Rashi, Rajbam explained the Gemara. Tosfos has a different explanation to drawer of the mamayna. Tosfos explains that drawer of the mamayna, beautiful Tosfos, is that sometimes you have a question in halacha, that question is a legitimate question. It's a question nothing to do with the Din Torah. Hamach lepar b'chamar. We don't know when the cow was born, when the baby was born. Somebody sells a shivcha. We don't know when the baby was born. That's a question that everybody has. It may not be personally relevant to me, but it's a question that I and you have. And therefore, Beis Din has to get involved. However, Zay Mishal Avoysay, Zay Mishal Avoysay. If not for the two of us coming to Beis Din with this argument, we have no question. And therefore it's not considered Drar the Mamayna. And Rabbi Chanan says a beautiful pshat. Rabbi Chanan says as follows. He says, what did we say at the beginning of the Shir, Kol Da'om Gvar means? Kol Da'om Gvar, we said, according to some Rishonim, means the Beis Din says we're just not getting involved. So says Rabbi Chanan, according to Tosfos, in a case where the question was only generated by the two of us, we're having this argument, Zay Mishal Avoysay, V'Zay Mishal Avoysay, and Beis Din has no way of determining the answer, and there's no independent question, so Beis Din says, Kol Da'om Gvar, we just don't want to get involved, we can't get involved. But in a case, like we just explained according to Tosfos, we have a full legitimate question, nothing to do with the two of us having an argument, says Rabbi Chanan, Beis Din doesn't have the option of walking away. And since Beis Din doesn't have the option of walking away, we don't say Kol Da'om Gvar, rather we say Yachloiku. Because the question, as Tosfos teaches us, is a legitimate question, irrespective of our argument. Says the Gemara, Amrin Ha'adol, Im Ba Echem Min Ashok, Ve'Hechsek Ba, Eim Etzin Ha'es Miyadai. So again, the way Rashbam explains the Gemara is like this. We're referring to our situation, where the two of us are arguing over a piece of property, Zoy Mishal Avoysa, Zoy Mishal Avoysa, and neither of us was able to prevail. Now a third individual comes and takes that piece of property, he could hold on to it. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, because we don't know that it belongs to Rashi and Rashbam, we don't really know that either of us really owned the property either. And therefore he could hold on to it. That's how Rashbam explains the Gemara. Ritva explains the Gemara as follows. What happens here? You and I are fighting over a piece of property. Now, somebody else grabs that piece of property. Says the Ritva, what happens? I'm going to come to you and say, how dare you take this piece of property? What are you going to respond to me? Who says it's yours? And the same when the other person comes to him and says, how dare you take my property? He's going to be able to say, who says this property belongs to you? And therefore, says the Gemara, he could hold on to it. Says the Gemara, that's actually what Rav Chiya taught us in a Braisa. The Tanya Rav Chiya, Gazlan Shel Rabim, Lav Shmei Gazlan. That's not considered a Gazlan, because both of us could hold on to the property. And Tosfos goes on to say, interesting concept in life. Tosfos is like this, you and I are arguing. Now a third person comes in and he takes the property. So for this we'll make peace. And Tosfos says we'll write a harshal. We'll write a document between the two of us that us two are the owners. Says Tosfos, it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? Because Tosfos says a harshal, this is what Tosfos explains Tosfos. Harshal is a takara drabonim. Chazal did not make a takana that our shah should be effective when one of us is a liar. Rav Ashi Amar, Loilam Shmei Gazlan. Rav Ashi says, of course, one of us is the owner, and therefore a third party has no right to take this property. Omai Loilam Shmei Gazlan, what do we mean when we say Loilam Shmei Gazlan? Shlei Nitin Li Shoven. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is as follows. We know that the Torah, we spoke about this thing many times, the Torah says that if I steal something, I have an obligation to return it. Says the Gemara, let's say I stole something from two people, and we don't know who the real owner is. According to the Rashbam's explanation of the Gemara, for me to be able to be fulfilled, Veheshivas Agzela Shagozal, and not have the Aveira of Gzela on me anymore, I have to give it back to both of you. So actually, I'll have the obligation to give back to both of you, otherwise I will always have the question of Gzela. Many Rishonim argue on the Rashbam, and they say that in a situation where the two of you are not certain who's the owner, to now me having to have to pay back to both of you would not be fair, and that the halacha will be I can leave it between the two of you, I can leave it with the two of you, and you deal with it between yourself. Where will the halacha be that I have to return it to all of you? Says the Ramban, it'll be a case that, let's say I stole something from one of five people and we don't know from whom, then I have to give it back to each one of the five people, because there was a certain owner. Here, however, says the Ramban, there wasn't a certain owner, and therefore, just putting it down, and for the two of you to keep it between yourselves, I'm a kayim for Heshivas Exel. But then, Tosfos discusses another situation. Tosfos says that the Gemara says, in Masechta Beya, that let's say somebody stole, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, and he wants to do tshuva, what should he do? So the Gemara Masechta Beis says he should use that money that he wants to get back to do something for the public. So Tosfos says, here we have two owners. We don't know who the owner is, so maybe I should be able just to leave the money and use it for public good, and that should be good enough. So Tosfos says, certainly that's not an option. Why? Because the Farshim explain, the only time the Gemara Masechta Beya says there's an option of being Mekayim for Heshivas Agzela by doing something on behalf of the public is only in a situation where there's no way to identify from whom I stole. In other words, let's say I own the store. The Gemara discussed this case. I own the store, and in that store I had this honest weights. I have no way of knowing who my customers were. So there I have to do something on the behalf of the public. But in a case where I know it's one of you two who are the certain owners, just saying, since I don't know which two of you are the owner, I'll do something on behalf of the public, that's not acceptable. It's interesting to note a tshuva from Ramosha. He says, discusses the following situation. The question that we just discussed. There was a person, unfortunately, who ran a dishonest business. And he gets older and he wants to do tshuva. And we just quoted the Gemara Masechta Beya, that the Gemara Masechta Beya says, since he didn't know who he stole from, he should do something on behalf of the public. So he wants to make a significant donation to the community. So Moshe says, even though normally, if you have honestly earned money, you could get covered, you could get honor for a donation you make. And the Rashba, in fact, famous Chuvas HaRashba, says, Mefarsimin Oysa Mitzvah, in a case where I'm only giving the tzedakah, because I have to do tshuva, I have to be very careful not to get any covet, not to get any honor for that, because I'm doing it because I have to do tshuva. I stole. Can't get honor for that money. The Chazon Ish says that even according to this maskana of the Gemara, that where he stole from two individuals, where the Rashbam says that he's going to have, if he wants to do the Heshev as Exela, he has to give each one of the individuals the value of what he took. That's only in a case where he stole metaltolin. But let's say he stole karka. Since taloch is karka in an Exelis, it's really something that can't be stolen, because the real estate remains wherever it is. The property is there. Everybody will agree, just put the piece of property, let the two of them who are fighting over the piece of property give it back to the two of them, and that'll be enough, even according to the Rashbam, to fulfill the Heshivas Exel. Continues the Gemara. Cheskoson Shalashonim Yoyim Liyoyim. So we said a Chazak is achieved in 3 years. Amar Rava Abba, says Rav Abba, Idole Iu Gufe Tzaned Pari, the Peri Lalta of a Chazak. Which means as follows. I'm on a piece of property, and you are the Marakama, and you're coming and saying that I stole this property from you. You never sold it to me. If I could prove that you helped me work on this piece of property, you helped pick up the fruit on the property and put it on my shoulders. Some say it's not good enough. The Ritva says you have to help me actually bring it to my house. But you actually physically helped me. That's a proof. That's a proof that it's really mine. And there are two ways of understanding the Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara is that by you doing this, you're being maida that this is my property. You're admitting that this is my property. And therefore, halacha is that even though normally a muhsik, as we said from the beginning of this parak, has to have a taina to back up his chazaka, here a taina will not be necessary. This act alone is a haidah that it's mine, and that's all that's needed. Others say that a vada, I'll still have to have a taina. But normally, a chazaka requires 3 years. Otherwise, why don't I have the shtar mecher? Why don't I have the deed? Here, I could argue. You know why I don't have the deed? Because I said to myself, you're never going to argue with me here. You're helping me work on the field. But of course, I still have to have a taina, and without a taina, I could not win. Amar of Zvid, that's the Rashbam Pshat in the Gemara. The Rebbeinu Chananu has a different Pshat in the Gemara. I'm just going to quote it. We're not going to learn the Gemara without Pshat. Rebbeinu Chananu explains that the Gemara means as follows. Again, you're the Marakama, and I'm the Muchsik on the field. And I went and gave you fruit from the field as a gift, which you accepted. So says the Gemara, according to Rebbeinu Chananu, the fact that you accepted this is a proof that you're admitting it's mine. Otherwise, would you take something that I'm giving to you that you believe I stole from you? And that's why La'al Tav Chazak. Again, we're going to learn with the Rashba. Amar Zvid, however, from Tav V'Amar L'Peiris Heratativ, if you say that, yes, I helped you, but not because I sold you the property. I hired you to be a worker on the field, a sharecropper, an oris, and you're entitled to a percentage of the produce, nemen. Then you will be nema. But as the Mefarshim explain, that's only if you say so immediately. And only if you say so, if that's your claim. You cannot be believed with a mikri. Why could you not be believed with a mikri? Why can't we say that if you said that I stole the property, you should be Nemon, Migui, that you could have said Leperis or Radative? So Tosfos answers, because it's considered a Migui and Makamedim. The fact that you helped me work on the field is like Adam, that the field is mine, and we don't say Migui and Makamedim. One Teretz. Another Teretz I saw in the Rishayim, because it's not a Migui. Because you don't want to say Leperis or Radative. Because you want to be able to claim not only the land back, but you also want to get back the payris that I ate on this field. And therefore, it's not a valid migui. So therefore, says the Gemara, but if you explicitly said, Leperis or Radative, Neman, then you will be believed. However, Fahani Mili, when will you have that Nemanis? Only B'Toch Sholosh. If within the first 3 years that I'm on the property, Avil Ach Sholosh, after that time, Loi. You no longer will have that ability to make that claim, because then I have a chazaka. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, Ila Peri Achsei, May Have Leila Mevet. And this is where the Rashbam explains the Gemara. What is our Gemara suggesting? That let's say you saw me, you gave me a right, whichever way, to take the payers of a field. So till 3 years, you have a right to say something. If you didn't say anything in the first 3 years, it's too late. Asks Rav Ashi, what is the definition of a macha? The definition of a macha is you saying that I did something illegal. I'm on your property illegally. But what happens here? I'm not on your property illegally. You're just saying that even though I'm on your property, and even though I'm legally taking the produce, I'm not the owner of the field. That's not considered, as the Gemara, a situation of a mecha. Because Rav Ashi is suggesting that a mecha means that you protested that I did something illegal. I didn't do anything illegal. And therefore, asks Rav Ashi, what kind of mecha can be made here? Answers the Gemara. A Rapapi answers, which means as follows. The definition of mecha, says Rapapa, is not that you're protesting that I did something illegal. The definition of mecha is that you're making the world know, don't make a mistake. He's on the property. He's eating the payers of the property. That doesn't mean that he's the owner of the property. And don't let anybody make that error. Said the Gemara, I'll prove to you that the halacha considers that a mecha. Divay temahacha. Hay mishkanta de surah. We learned the Masechta of Metzia. When we learned Perek Ezu Neshech, the Gemara said that you're not allowed to take interest. Torah says you're not allowed to take interest. But the Gemara spoke about a Mishkanta de surah, which means that if I lend you money and you give me a piece of property, and the deal is that I will get this piece of property for 10 years, all of the produce will be mine, no matter if it produces a lot or a little, and then at the end of 10 years, I give you back the property, and you owe me nothing. That's called Mishkanta de Surah. The Kosovo, which says as follows, but Mishnah Shnin Ilan, when these years are up, take Arado B'loi Kesef. I give you back your property, and you owe me nothing. So now I ask the Gemara, Ikovish Lelishtar Mashkanta Gadei, from a kuchi biyadei, hachanami the mehemen. So what happens if this deal is a 10-year deal? So for 10 years I'm on this property. 10 years I'm on this property. Now the 10 years are up. You the loiva come back to me and say you want the piece of property back. So I tell you, so let's say I'm dishonest, chas v'sholem. So I tell you, what are you talking about? This property, I bought it from you. And I don't have to have a deed anymore. It's past 3 years. So now, you'll lose your property. Ask the Gemara, with Chazal, Misakni Rabbonin, Midi Dosbei, Ledei Pseida, would Chazal establish something where we could end up that the loiva will lose property that's legitimately his. And as the Rishonim explain, to require that the loiva should have to hold on to the document saying it is something that Chazal would not establish. So if we're saying that a mechah only means that you're complaining that I did something illegally, how will we ever allow Mishkanta de Sura? Mishkanta de Sura could end up you losing your property because you can't make a mechah that I did something illegal. For what do we see? From here, El Abayel Mechuye. A mechah doesn't mean that you're complaining that I did something illegally. A mechah means that you're complaining that I have, that you're serving notice that I have no right to be on this property. Hachinami, Ibayel Mechuye, that I have no right, that even though I'm on this property, and even though I am on this property legally, don't make the mistake of thinking I own the property. By making the mechah, and the halach is, you have to make the mechah every 3 years, notifying, serving notice, that even though he's on the property, and even though he's on the property legally, and getting the payers of the property legally, the property really belongs to me, and therefore I, the muchzik, am properly serve notice that I have to hold on to the deed, if I say that it belongs to me, and I have no chazaka, and therefore, if after these years I claim I own it, if I can't produce a deed, I will have to give back to you the marakama.